Okay, very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is Tuesday, 7th of July, 2020. Yeah? Today we are supposed to continue on page 130, yeah? Of the Heart Sutta, second edition. We are at lesson 24. So before we start our half an hour meditation, maybe I will read to you the title, 1.1, the true purpose of meditation, so that you all understand. When you understand, then easier for you all to develop the meditation. So the true purpose and intent of meditation, what is it? You have to understand this. If you don't understand this, then you are not focused. You cannot really do it, because you don't even know why you meditate, the purpose and intent, then you cannot do it, then you can become gullible. So under this particular lesson 24, I summarize what I have shared to the class earlier on. So this one you have to listen, this one is very good. The true purpose and intent of meditation is to develop the wisdom. Always remember, only wisdom free your mind, nothing else. So the true purpose and intent of meditation is to develop the wisdom to liberate the mind, so that one is no longer deluded by the five aggregates of form and mind, causing one to grasp, cling onto it as the I and the me and the mind, to condition one's suffering. Understanding this true intent and purpose of meditation is very important, because meditation is not about developing the calm and tranquil mind alone. So many cultivators or meditators make that mistake. They thought meditation is to develop the peaceful mind, the tranquil and calm mind. Then sometimes they also become gullible. They thought the method and the technique and the object of meditation is meditation. No, these are only skillful means to anchor the mind, to train the mind. So whatever you do in the name of meditation, if it does not bring about wisdom for you to insight into phenomena, to awaken, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So this is a very important understanding. Then I also mentioned wisdom is more important. One only needs to understand why one's mind is not peaceful. The main reason being the five hindrances of mind. And they are there because the opposite five spiritual faculties needed to overcome them are lacking. So this one we have gone through. Without the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance will take over. When the spiritual faculty are there, the mental hindrance will cease to be. So this is how you develop the understanding and enable you to cultivate accordingly. So when you start developing your spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, then the mental hindrance will cease. Then you are in a meditative state all the time, and meditation becomes very easy. That's the reason why spiritual faculties are very important. And spiritual faculties are mind state that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching. That's the reason why they are so important. Then when there is no more mental hindrance or craving, the mind will be naturally peaceful and calm, because it can accept the reality of the moment via wisdom. Wisdom allow one to see things as they are via the unwavering mind in upekkha or equanimity. That is the mind that does not stir anymore, because it's collected and unwavering. When mind is free, liberated and no longer deluded, then you are always at peace. Then meditation, we are focusing, concentration, noting and looking, are mostly thought-based meditation. Whereas the one that is via the silent mind in awareness or sati, before the knowing, without thought, to awaken to phenomena, is awareness-based meditation or sati or mindfulness-based meditation. Only through wisdom is the mind free. This wisdom cannot be learned, but only through an awakening via the direct seeing, born of the silent mind or true mind without thought. The attachment to Dhamma as knowledge can also be a form of delusion. Wisdom is an understanding and it's not a knowledge, because you insight into phenomena and awaken. There is nothing to know, because all knowing is via the thought as knowledge. Whereas wisdom is an awakening, a realization that is beyond thought, beyond mind. And it is not rigid. It is an overall understanding. So hopefully with this, you know how to meditate. So to develop wisdom, you need to have the silent mind. So what you need to do is, when you meditate, you just have to focus on the four support. Always remember to relax body and mind, maintain awareness, so that the mind can realize its original state before the stirring, before the arising of sankhara. That's why you have to silence your mind, relax and maintain awareness. Then the meditation will progress. But when you do that, you don't feed the mind with any more mental thinking or energy for sankhara activity. So whatever sankhara or mental activity that is still there will start to slow down, slow down, slow down, until finally it becomes very quiet and very still. So when that happens, you will know what sati is, because there is an awareness. There is aware of the silence, the awareness nature within. That is your true one. That is your true nature. So realize that. Stabilize that. Then use it to develop the understanding, the wisdom. You use that silent mind to meditate, to observe, to develop the understanding and the awakening. That's what meditation is. Okay, with that, I will off the light, then we can start our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Okay? You can slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. And always remember, you have to develop the daily mindfulness training. Ultimately, the daily mindfulness is the real meditation. Let's continue on page 130. Heart Sutta Lesson 24, page 131. Now, go back to verse 1.1. Okay. This one, I will go through it again, the true purpose of meditation, because this topic is very important. So just now I've gone through with those who were with us for the meditation. Then there may be some who just came in. So now I will go through again. True purpose of meditation. The true purpose and intent of meditation is to develop the wisdom to liberate the mind, so that one is no longer deluded by the five aggregates of form and mind, causing one to grasp and cling onto it as the I and the me and the mind, to condition one's suffering. So this one is very important. If you understand this, then you will know how to meditate. Understanding this true intent and purpose of meditation is very important. Because meditation is not about developing the calm and tranquil mind alone. Wisdom is more important. One only needs to understand why one's mind is not peaceful. The main reason being the five mental hindrances of mind. And they are there because the opposite five spiritual faculties needed to overcome them are lacking. When the spiritual faculties are there, the mental hindrance will cease to be. So all these understanding are very important. Then always remember, you meditate to be free from all suffering. So what is it that can make you free from all suffering? It's only wisdom. Only wisdom can free the mind, liberate the mind. So whatever you do in the name of meditation, it does not bring about awakening or transformation of mind leading to the wisdom, then you are not doing it correctly. Then when there is no more mental hindrance or craving, the mind will be naturally peaceful and calm because it can accept the reality of the moment via wisdom. Wisdom allow one to see things as they are via the unwavering mind in upekkha or equanimity. The mind that is not, sorry, the I read again. Wisdom allow one to see things as they are via the unwavering mind in upekkha or equanimity. That is the mind that does not stir anymore. Then this mind is free, liberated, and no longer deluded. Meditation, we are focusing, concentration, looking and noting are mostly thought-based meditation, whereas the one via the silent mind in sati or awareness before the noon without the thought to awaken to phenomena is awareness-based meditation or sati-based meditation. Only through wisdom is the mind free. This wisdom cannot be learned, but only through awakening via the direct seeing with the silent mind or the true mind without thought. Attachment to Dhamma as knowledge can also be a form of delusion. Wisdom is an understanding and not knowledge. There is nothing to know because all knowing is via the thought as knowledge. Whereas wisdom is an awakening, a realization which is beyond thought, and it is not rigid. So understanding the difference between wisdom and knowledge is very important. Knowledge is basically thought-based. You can read up. You can develop knowledge through reading, through even listening to what people tell you. But knowledge always comes from memory, the thought process. Whereas wisdom is an all-knowing understanding that is not rigid. That understanding is born of an awakening, which is the silent mind that insight into phenomena or just awaken. And there is no thought involved. This is what awareness based meditation is all about. When the awareness of the silent mind without thought insight into phenomena, it can awaken, it can realize the wisdom which is beyond thought, beyond mind. Whereas thought-based meditation is limited by the thought process. The instrument itself, which is thought, is limited because we are trying to realize an enlightenment, a Dhamma that is akaliko, timeless, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So this is a very important difference. So whatever you try to remember through your memory is knowledge. Wisdom, you don't have to remember. Wisdom is an understanding and awakening. Once you understand, you awaken. It is always with you. You cannot lose sight of it. That is what wisdom is all about. And it is not born of knowledge. No thought is involved. It's from that nature, the silent awareness nature within. Okay, we move on to the next page. 2.1, formless Dhamma. So this one refers to the other aggregates of Maya. The form Dhamma is the first aggregate or Rupa. The formless Dhamma are the other four aggregates of feeling, perception, Sankara, and Vijnana. So to our feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. Here, the English translation is slightly different because Shenhua, that Mahayana tradition of Master Shenhua, they prefer to use cognition as against the word perception. But the Pali word are the same. Feeling is Vedana. Cognition is actually Sanya, which is the same as perception. And here, formation means mental formation, which is a very limited word. So the word Sankara actually is a lot more. So what we use on our Theravada side is, we normally use mental activity, mental states. Of course, we also use the word mental formation. So technically, Sankara means whatever your mind can do is Sankara. So it includes all your mental intention, mental activity, mental formation, and all of your mental planning, thinking, even your scheming, all these are part of Sankara. So whatever that your mind can do is Sankara, including feeling and perception. We call it the content of consciousness. Whatever that went into the receptacle, which is the pure vijnana. Pure vijnana is the pure consciousness before the content went in. Like the physics experiment. When the light bulb lights up, means that is just the conscious moment. One become conscious. Conscious of seeing, conscious of hearing, smell, taste, tactile and thought process. So all these six type or respective consciousness, when they arise, there is no content, like the physics experiment. It's just the consciousness. That's the reason why the Buddha always teach the monk, he said, when you meditate, be aware. When you are aware, you can see all this. He said, in the seeing, every moment of seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. Before the content of consciousness go in, there is no one to see. Even in the hearing is the same. That's why I think Sister Lee and Ingby, they do describe it. There is nobody to hear, to see, to smell, to taste, to technically feel or think. You can find out on your own through meditation. When you silence your mind to be aware, do it before you input your content or consciousness. You can find out that consciousness that arises, be it hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness, or even the seeing consciousness. If you have stability of mindfulness, you can do it. Really, no one to see, it's just that consciousness, no word, nothing. Hearing is easier, hearing. You just silence your mind. It's just that consciousness, no word, nothing. Then your mental activity very fast, because most human beings, they don't have the wisdom, so they act from memory. So memory is an accumulation of past experiences, good and bad. So your memory has all your views, opinion, conditioning, like and dislike, habitual tendency. All these are so deeply ingrained, accumulated in your memory. So when you act according to memory, you respond very fast. That's how you stir your mind. And all this has become so habitual, so mechanical, without even any understanding or wisdom or reflection, you straight away react and stir your mind. Means the content of consciousness went in very fast. And you cannot blame all these heedless living beings with delusion. Without wisdom, they will always do that. Because unless you have wisdom, you got no other way of action. You can only act according to memory. Because whatever you don't understand, you go to your memory to try to retrieve it. Because memory gives rise to thought process. Thought is respond to memory. So memory leads to perception. That's why perception is knowledge. So when you act according to memory, that is not wisdom. That is acting according to knowledge. Whatever that you are taught. So your whatever conditioning, belief system, views and opinion, religious belief, your tradition, your culture. So all this, including your habitual tendency and your fear, your phobia, your scars of memory, your insecurity, they are all deposited in your brain. So when you act according to memory, you are acting according to all this deluded state, which are mainly evil roots. They are not wisdom. So your mind that doesn't have understanding and wisdom has got no other way of action. They only act according to memory. You can go and check. When you are meditating, when you are going through life, you check. How do you act? You always go to your memory. Your views, opinion, and conditioning are so strong. Your habitual tendency are so strong. And why do we learn Dhamma? Why do we develop meditation? It's to develop the wisdom. Just now we already defined the sole purpose and intent of meditation is to develop the wisdom to free the mind, to awaken, so that you are not deluded by the five aggregate of form and mind, so that you will not cling, you will not corrupt, you will not fall. So this formless Dhamma is more subtle, less tangible, more difficult for you to see. But if you have mindfulness, you can see them because they are within your content of consciousness. So these are the form and formless Dhamma that you need stability of mindfulness to really see. So this part, I will read again. Hopefully by now you will understand. So too are feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. Sariputta, all Dhamma are empty of characteristics. They are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled, not pure, and they neither increase nor decrease. So this section covers the more subtle, formless Dhamma acting at the mind level. So this formless Dhamma, the quote is from the Heart Sutta, okay? So when they say, when Avalokiteshvara or Kuan Yin Bodhisattva was cultivating the perfection of Prajnaparamita Sutta, she illuminated the five skandhas and realized that they are all empty makes empty of characteristic marks and everything. Then he said, form is emptiness, emptiness is form. So two are feeling, perception, formation, which is Sankara, and Vijnana. Then he even told Sariputta, all dhammas are empty of characteristic. So this is the unconditioned dhamma. From the unconditioned mind means the true mind, which is not the conditioned mind, or we call it the mundane mind. So from that silent mind, you can see all this, that all these are empty, no reality. They have the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta. Then they are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled, not pure, and they neither increase nor decrease. So this only pertains to the conditioned world. Within the unconditioned, all this is to be. That's why the five aggregate of form and mind, they are empty. You must penetrate that. You must awaken to that. Otherwise, you cannot really free your mind or liberate your mind. So in the Mahayana tradition, they have this Mandarin saying, Wu yun jie kong. Wu yun is the five aggregate. The five aggregate of form and mind are empty. Kong is emptiness. Means no reality. End of the day is empty. Because everything within the conditioned world, they are dependent originating condition arising, cause of normal. They come and they go, they come and they go. And it's never a permanent unchanging entity. So that's why there is no reality. He know you, he know me. Then ultimately, it's empty. Because whatever you may describe it or give meaning to it through the thought process or through your mundane mind, consciousness, finally, it is dead and gone. They come and they go. They arise and they pass away. As real as it can be, it's only within the moment. Split second is gone. Split second is gone. And that is the only reality in life. So how real can be existence be? How real can life be? So when you see this in the meditation, when you understand all this, you will awaken. And you will understand everything is just the way it is. Suchness. Ta-ta-ta. That's the reason why the Buddha said, learn to see things as they are. Learn to insight into phenomena. Jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. So seeing things as they are. Not how your mind or your brain or your memory perceive it. Through your knowledge, through your views, opinion and conditioning. Well, that one is delusion. That one doesn't understand. So you have to see things as they are, without the words, without the concept, without the thought process. It's just that direct seeing, that silent awareness within. When you can see things as they are, then you understand truth, you understand the reality. Then you can silence your mind to observe phenomena, to observe whatever that is going on in life. Then you can also observe your own form and mind. Then you will truly understand who you are, what you are. Then you can awaken to the delusion. You will never grasp, you will never cling. Then you will know the five aggregate of form and mind is just a vehicle and a tool for you to come. And this one is subject to karma. It is also subject to the universal characteristics of impermanent. If you attach and cling, wanting things your way, you will lead to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it is not a permanent and changing entity. Therefore, it is non-self, empty, no reality. Okay, so with that, we will continue. Then there are some terms that Master Xuan Hua used in his commentaries. True understanding on page 63 of the Heart Sutta commentary that Xuan Hua wrote. True understanding here implies wisdom. Well, wisdom is an understanding, it's not a knowledge. So when you understand, you have wisdom. When you know, it is knowledge, it's not a wisdom. All knowing comes from memory, knowledge. Without memory, you cannot perceive, you cannot know. So knowing is knowledge. That's why it comes from the word know. Whatever you know is knowledge. Whatever you understand is wisdom. A very simple example is our mathematics calculation. Okay? When you understand the logic behind, it's like addition. Okay? Then you will not be confused. Then you will know 3 plus 5 is also 8. 4 plus 4 is also 8. 1 plus 7 is also 8. That's why you are not rigid. Whereas a person who has knowledge, he go and memorize it, then he learn from the teacher, especially standard 1, 2 student. Then he thought whatever the teacher teach is the truth. So the teacher say 1 plus 7 is 8. Then when you tell this student 4 plus 4 also 8, he say you must be mad, you are wrong. My teacher say 1 plus 7 is 8. And the most gullible one, even if you say 7 plus 1, he say you are wrong. Must be 1 plus 7 only 8. Means he doesn't understand. That's why there is knowledge, rigid. So this is a very good example. I find it very useful. So when you understand the principle behind, then you know how to apply it. But this is no longer a knowledge which is rigid. It is an understanding that you know how to add, you know how to subtract, you know how to divide, you know how to multiply. And the cases can be very different, a lot of variation, and yet the answer sometimes is the same. But it doesn't mean that they are wrong. No. So those that have understanding will not be rigid and they will not be confused. They will understand. That's why understanding is wisdom. Knowing is knowledge. So true understanding is wisdom. Then number two, defeat them is you must awaken to them, so that you are no longer deluded by them. Feeling of happiness means pleasant sensation or pleasant feeling. Then feeling of suffering is unpleasant feeling. Then feeling which are characterized by neither suffering nor happiness, this one implies neutral feeling. And then neutral feeling, there are two types. One type is indifferent. That's why when you are indifferent, it's also neutral. But this one is with delusion. The indifferent is neutral feeling with delusion. Whereas the other one, equanimity. Equanimity is also unwavering and collected mind that does not stir. There is neither like or dislike. You can say it's neutral, because there is neither like or dislike. So that neutral feeling born of wisdom is upeka. So that one is not a deluded state. That one is an enlightenment factor, the last of the 7 enlightenment factor. Then the next saying, in the pure and deep ultimate silence, this one is very beautiful. In the pure and deep ultimate silence, this one you can only realize it when you are able to meditate, able to silence your mind and realize your true mind, your true nature. So in that pure and deep ultimate silence, which is the stillness, the tranquility, just that nature, all creation are transcended. And this is the most beautiful. So all creation comes from what? Mundane mind. That's why mundane mind is a forerunner of all things. When mundane mind arise, all things arise. This is how creation starts. So creation means mundane mind arising, sankhara activity arising, content of consciousness went in. So when you understand that, then you understand meditation. That's the reason why when you realize the true mind, the silent mind, your true nature within, which is just aware, there is nothing. That's why in the pure and deep ultimate silence, which is the stillness, the tranquility, all creation are transcended. Yeah, the mundane mind cannot be there, understand? So when there is no mundane mind, there is no creation. That's why you can go beyond. That's why the direct seeing, the silent mind, the pure awareness is so powerful. In fact, that silent mind, the pure awareness is wisdom energy. Without thought, your awareness is very powerful. It can insight into phenomena. It can awaken. It can realize the truth. Because within that silence, it observes without words, without concept, without the mundane mind. There is no view, no opinion, no conditioning. It's just silently aware, observe, and awaken. Where you will see clearly how the form and mind move, how dependent on certain aspect of nature's law, it conditioned activity. That's why the law of Patichasamuppada, dependent originating. So there is no reality. Everything happened naturally. Come and go, dependent originating. That's why this law of dependent origination, Patichasamuppada, is very powerful, the 12 link. The moment you can see this, you awaken, you understand. Everything within the conditioned world is just dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. There is nobody behind. He no you, he no me. Even the so-called mighty God also not there. Everything is just natural. The form and mind also know what you think. Because this one is also dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Not a permanent unchanging entity. Not what you think. That's why basically they are empty. There is no reality at all. That's why empty of all substance and characteristic. So silence your mind and develop the ability to be aware, to awaken, to develop the wisdom, to realize the truth, to see things clearly. Then you will understand how your form and mind, through its wrong view, ignorance and delusion, through its accumulated rubbish or memory, that condition the wrong thought that make them suffer and become afflicted. That's how misery comes to be. That's how suffering comes to be. So without the wisdom, you will be entangled in life. Where without wisdom, you don't have right view. When you don't have right view, you don't understand how the world functions. The universe, with its sets of nature's law that governs life and existence, function. So when you cannot understand the five great universal order or Panchaniyama operating, then you don't have right view. Especially the three spiritual right view. Kamaniyama, Chittaniyama, and Dhammaniyama. Kamaniyama is the moral causation, law of karma. Chittaniyama is the law of mind, Chitta. And Dhammaniyama is the law of truth, the teaching, the Dhamma that the Buddha teach. So these three are the great spiritual law. The other two are Uttuniyama and Bijaniyama. Uttu are nature's physical law of nature. All of physics, chemistry, they follow that law. Then Bijaniyama is a biological order. All of the things we study under biology, genetic engineering. And also everything that involves the organic aspect of nature. Like our human body, the animals, the fishes, the insects. So all these are organic things that has life form. They are subject to the biological order of Bijaniyama. So when you understand these five great laws that governs life and existence, you will understand life. You will understand the secret of life. That's the reason why the scientists, after they penetrated the physical law and the biological order of nature, they progressed very fast. They came out with a lot of good understanding. That's how our civilization progressed. Now we really move very fast. Now even our, we call it the technological advancement. So last time it was very primitive. Then we developed 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G. So now 5G coming. You look at the way things change and transform with this technological advancement. It's all based on the scientists' understanding of the physical law of nature. Then even our biological order also we have advanced. A lot of biological order breakthrough also coming. We have this DNA thing, genetic engineering, and also they are trying to play in inverted comma, play God and God, right? Because they believe God is a creator. So now they can also create, like they, through genetic engineering, they can crossbreed, understand? A German goat and a Malaysian goat. Then they come out in between. Then they can produce test tube baby. You don't have to really do it through the normal biological way. Then they can even decide your gene, your DNA. So all this scientific breakthrough and advancement can become more and more evolved and more developed. Even now, they can even keep your what they call that one. When a new baby is born, is it bone marrow thing? They even have the technology to store that. No, there is something they suck out on so that they can use it for growth hormone and all those things and to heal. That's like bone marrow transplant and all those things. Not that one. This one is another one. There is a company that do this. You can actually save your this thing inside their lab there. Then when you need them, only you go there and get it. Because instead of looking for a compatible one to donate to you, you can keep your thing there. They keep for you. I forgot the name. Last time there was some company that specialize in all this, and that company become very popular, but it haven't really take off in a big way. It started from Malaysia, I think. Then they somehow connect to Singapore side. It is a bio thing, biotechnology and all those things. Where they
very, cryo is cool.
No. It is a very advanced type of thing. I also forgot the name already. When I remember, maybe I will share with you again. So all this are possible when you have the breakthrough. But the Buddha is unique in the sense that he is the Sammasambuddha, fully enlightened, not only enlightened, complete in his understanding of enlightenment. That's why he is an expert in the three spiritual law. So in the spiritual field, he is like the scientist in the scientific field. They progress very fast and they go very far. So the Buddha, likewise, in the spiritual field, he has penetrated and perfected all the understanding. That's why he can understand life very clearly. He can summarize to us all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane. Then he can summarize them and put them under just the Four Noble Truths. So the Four Noble Truths is actually the essence of the Buddha's teaching, because the Four Noble Truths summarize to us all of life, all of the mundane and supramundane aspect of life. And that is the most beautiful truth ever to be proclaimed. And this one, you need a Sammasambuddha to proclaim it. Normal enlightened being cannot do it because you don't have the all-knowing understanding. So when it comes to spiritual law, you really need the Buddha Dhamma, the teaching that the Buddha has taught us or proclaimed to the Buddhist community. Okay, we go back to the notes. Okay, I will read the last part. In the pure and deep ultimate silence is when you realize your true mind, all creation are transcended. A sudden awakening. That's why you need the silent mind, the pure awareness to awaken. Without the sati, the silent mind, the awareness nature, the wisdom energy, you cannot awaken. So in the pure and deep ultimate silence of tranquility, stillness of mind, all creation are transcended, because the mundane mind cannot arise. So there is no creation, no duality, nothing. Then a sudden awakening to the original perfect fusion of self and Dhamma. Self and Dhamma means your delusion, your self-delusion. They fuse with all the Dhamma that your mundane mind came to perceive. So the explanation from me is very simple. When the mundane mind realizes itself, then all the above can happen. So you cultivate by training the mundane mind to relax, maintain awareness, to realize the true mind. So mind is the forerunner of all things. Without the true mind, you cannot see the movement of the mundane mind. Without sati, you also cannot see the movement of the mundane mind. And the mundane mind is basically the second aspect of the five aggregate of formal mind. That's how you can awaken to it. You can realize that the five aggregate of formal mind are empty, no reality. He know you, he know me. They are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Therefore, it has this universal characteristics of impermanent. When you grasp and cling and hold deludedly, you suffer because they follow nature's law. When you want things your way, which is not in accordance with nature's way, you suffer. That's why when you cannot get what you want, you suffer. And because it's dependent originating condition arising cause of the normal, it is not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why from impermanent, you will understand that it is non-self, anatta. Because it is impermanent, it's not self. That's why we call it non-self, the form of mind. There is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call this is me, this is I, which is self. It cannot be. So the universal characteristics of impermanent suffering state and anatta nature, which is non-self and empty nature, you will see them clearly when you are mindful, when you are aware, when you can silence your mind, when you can develop the meditative training until you are ever mindful, constantly meditative throughout the day, you are hit, then you will definitely awaken. That's why heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So the moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment in the here and the now. Nothing can go wrong. So this is how you develop the training of the mind to be heedful first. And to be heedful, there are two components. Ever mindful, constantly meditative. So to be ever mindful, you must first train your mind to be mindful first, then stabilize it. That's why all meditation start from here. Training the mind to be aware, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then use it to meditate, cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, leading to heedfulness. Otherwise, you can't awaken. You can never liberate your mind. So this understanding is very important. That's why all of meditation is to develop this heedfulness to awaken, to develop the wisdom, so that you are not deceived by the five aggregates of form and mind. So all his teachings are connected, related. So when you understand, you will not be gullible anymore. You will not go and do all the thought-based meditation, which has nothing to do with developing heedfulness leading to the direct seeing or the awakening to understand, to develop the wisdom to free your mind. So when you understand the teaching, you will know how to cultivate accordingly. So like the Buddha's final advice to the monk before his parinibbana, apamadena sampadeta. The meaning is strive on with heedfulness. Just these few words. Heedfulness. The moment you are heedful, Dhammapada verse 22, 23 confirm, you are destined for enlightenment, even verse 21. So work on heedfulness. To be heedful, you have to be mindful first. Then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate the Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That's why it's constantly meditating. So Dhammapada verse 23 is very clear. The constantly meditative and the ever mindful and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme bond-free Nibbana. You hold on to these two training, means train your mind to be ever mindful, then use it to meditate, cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, constantly meditating. Once you are able to do this too steadfastly, means without gap, without stop, continuously strive on with heedfulness to just develop this heedfulness, then you are destined for enlightenment. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana can be realized. So this is the beauty of the teaching, and the Buddha really taught us well. So with this understanding, you will not debate. You will know how to develop the meditation appropriately. So finally, it's the mundane mind that realizes all this and sees. That's how you realize enlightenment, Nibbana. So The mundane mind is useful if you have the wisdom, because the user of the mundane mind with the wisdom will give rise to all the beautiful, wholesome aspect of life. So mundane mind is basically your thought. So if the user of thought has wisdom, your thought become right thought. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is all about right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And it starts with right view. Right view is the wisdom part, the awakening, the understanding. So without right view, it cannot condition right thought. Without wisdom, without enlightenment, connected to the form and mind, this form and mind is deluded. That's why the user of thought, which is wisdom, must arise first. You must awaken. Then this form and mind with the wisdom connected is no longer deluded. It will not be deceived by the phenomenal world of form and consciousness. Then it can act. It will act with wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path. It will have right view leading to right thought, right action, right speech, right livelihood, followed by the four right effort. Then after that, you will have the wisdom to develop the last two path factor, which is mindfulness and samadhi. In fact, the first six is already very beautiful. It will enable you to avoid all evil, cultivate goodness, the first two advice of the Buddha. And when you do this, your merits, your parami, your virtue, your blessing, they will all grow. Then you will be able to arise the beautiful karmic nature, which will not lead to downfall anymore. Because when you follow the Noble Eightfold Path, the first six path factor, you will not commit any karmic negativity. And because of your virtue, you will have a lot of wholesome condition, merits, and all the beautiful karmic inheritance. That's why every life you come after that, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. Your life will be beautiful. But when you arise as a human being from my mind, you still need wisdom. Apart from merits, good karma, not enough. Because the form and mind goes the way of nature, subject to the law of karma. You will get old, get sick and die. You will have relationship problem. You will have separation problem. You will have to meet people whom you don't like, who are not so friendly. Then you are confronted with situation where things don't go your way, your expectations in life are not met, and you cannot get what you want. So during this moment with this reality, you will still suffer and become miserable, afflicted. So you need to arise the wisdom through mindfulness, through the direct seeing, through the awakening, to free your mind completely. That's the reason why mindfulness is very important. Without mindfulness, there is no way out. So mindfulness is most important. Where without mindfulness, there is no heedfulness. Then Ajahn Chah used to say this, for sati is life. I fully agree. Without sati, there is no life. You cannot see. You are like blind, heedless, completely trapped. So he said, for sati is life. So without sati, there is no life, there is no dhamma, there is no cultivation, there is no ability to even investigate dhamma. If you can't see, how can you investigate? It's only when you can see, you are sensitive, when you have the awareness to be with the moment, the silent mind to awaken, to observe, to understand, and to awaken. Without all this, there is no way. So hopefully with this, you can develop a good understanding. Okay, we move on. Listening from my heart during Dharma sharing. This one is very good. When I listen from my heart during Dharma sharing, I feel very peaceful and happy. There is clarity. But this state does not last. Why is it that I feel this way? So this is a typical example of what I shared to you earlier on. You remember earlier on, Song has that problem with the boss who actually blamed him. Then again, he go and use the mundane mind or thought to actually inquire. Then he get himself entangled again. So this meditator also same. He said, when I listen from my heart during Dhamma sharing, I feel very peaceful and happy. There is clarity, but this state does not last. Do you know why or not? Well, when he listened from the heart, there is faith. There is this what they call spiritual pity or joy. Because the faith and the joy born of the hearing or the listening, when he heard the true Dhamma, there is a lot of joy. There's a lot of what they call good feeling inside. And the faith also very strong. And the mind, without the heedless thinking, without the other negativity of mind state, emotion or what, become very peaceful, very quiet, very tranquil. But this is a conditioned state because he hasn't stabilized his mindfulness. If he or she has stabilized his mindfulness, then that state can stay. But also don't expect it to be forever in that state, because condition different, situation different, things were conditioned into different movement. That's why everything is in a state of flux. But the wisdom is the one that will protect you. Without wisdom, you will be affected. You will be disturbed. Especially those who go to the thought and want to find out why. So like this case, why is it that? Why is it I feel this way? Because you go and ask the thought. You ask the thought, thought is not wisdom. Thought is knowledge, not panya. So how can he understand? That's why he cannot give you the answer. So I explained this to that Kayamita. I said, this could be due to your past cultivation that enable you to have the ability to listen from your heart. And this is very true. To be able to listen from your heart is not easy. You must have some past parami. And it looks like conditions are now ready for you to connect back to your past cultivation. You will progress very fast from now onward, because when you know how to listen from your heart with your full awareness there, then the brain which is up here in your forehead will not condition you to think, comment, judge and react so strongly as before, when your attention is most of the time at your forehead. So while listening, at your forehead while listening, since thoughts are respond to memory, this part very important. So by listening from your heart, there is very much less thinking or thought process. But initially, it will be like that. It will be like the listening is in bits and pieces and not really connected to the memories. But don't worry, because it is normal. And you should continue to listen from your heart until it becomes normal or natural again. Natural for you to do that again. Actually, that is the correct way to listen. Listen with your full attention or awareness without the interference of thought. It is a sign of good progress. Also understand that like all phenomena, it is impermanent. So do not expect this same experience to be repeated all the time. This is especially so during your daily mindfulness. When you are not in a conducive place to listen to the true Dhamma, your habitual tendency of listening from your forehead or brain will start to happen again. That's why that Kayamita go to the brain again and use the thought. Sometimes the mental hindrance of mind can still come in to disturb your brain or mind state. So do not react or stir your mind via delusion. Just let things be. Yeah, this is wisdom. And let it settle back to its original state or natural state of stillness and inner peace. Then you will always be happy and at peace. Have the wisdom to see things as they are and understand all this clearly. Then one day you will come to understand that as long as the true mind within does not stir and create thought, we are one's own delusion to think or to react, then the mind will always be peaceful. So this is the way to free your mind. This is wisdom way. That's why I tell Brother Song, and I even explained yesterday, not yesterday, the Sunday sharing. You see, all this, they come from the thought process. Thought is knowledge. Thought is not wisdom. So you use the thought will inquire in the wrong way because it's not the Dhamma way. It's not wisdom way. So they use knowledge. They expect this state to remain forever, the peaceful state. And for Song's case, he expects the heart then not to move. Then they realize that initially it can still move. Yeah, for Song's case, it's much better. He know how to relax, silent, aware, follow what I just described just now, yeah, to actually understand that all these are delusion because they are dependent originating. When he silent his mind, the agitation, the uneasiness cease, which means this is dependent originating, condition arising, causal not a reality. But every time he goes back and do that, then only the understanding come. So the question that comes from the thought is very cunning. He will go through the back door and tell him, but this one still move. You still have a problem. You have to resolve it, which is not wrong. Resolve it means what? You don't need to go back to the thought. Resolve it means you, through wisdom, resolve it then and then. Through wisdom, you will have the understanding that whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. So the lack of peace is due to, like I explained, the habitual tendency that are still there, not completely rooted out yet, because the wisdom, the stability of understanding not stable enough yet. When it's very stable, then it will not happen. Then you can even share, you can even teach. That's the beauty of the stability of it. So when it is very stable, this habitual tendency will be rooted out. And you will not go back to that thought to question yourself again. You will straight away understand. Thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will like that. He is the way he is, the boss. The world is the world. Condition is just the way it is. So you will either silence your mind and be with it, then it will cease. Then after you have reflected on it, contemplated on it long enough, then it will not arise again. Then when it happens, you straight away will know what to do. You have to resolve it. Like today, Kok Lun came. We had a very good discussion. And he was so beautiful. He was full of gratitude and joy. That's why he came and shared his experience and story. And he shared on the part of application because he know how to apply all this that I taught him. It was so beautiful. And it helped him in so many beautiful ways. That's why he was full of gratitude and joy. And he was able to transform many things. Yeah. So earlier on, according to him, there was one hospital job that couldn't be completed for 1 year. They were stuck. Then he was told to take over. Then when he went there, it was not easy. But he applied Noble Eightfold Path. He silenced his mind. He developed the awareness. Then he don't want to panic. He don't want to worry. Then he inquired, what actually happened. How can I resolve this amicably? Then he applied Noble Eightfold Path. That's how he did it. Then his good karma also good condition. Yeah. So it seems the old group, they somehow, I think, decided to leave. Yeah. Then they sent over one team, new team. And this new team happened to be from the same hometown. Then everything like click and fall into place. Then he talked to him. Then they came to a very good understanding. Then he get them to meet the hospital staff and his company staff. Then within 1 month, a 1-year-old problem was resolved. And they finished off the project. That's why he did very well. And there were many other similar situations and conditions. So if you know how to apply Noble Eightfold Path, your problem is gone. So first, accept the reality of the moment. We are conditioned like that, things will be like that. So don't go to the thought again. Don't go to the memory again. Yeah. This one is knowledge. This one is deluded. You don't act according to memory. You act according to wisdom. The reality is, happen already. Condition like that, things will be like that. Like the boss misunderstand him, blame him. So what? He is the way he is. So accept them for what they are. Like Gottlund's case, he accept everybody for the way they are. Even his own father, his brother, and whoever he encountered in the office. So when you accept them for what they are, you don't perceive them with negativity. There is no more of this resentment, unhappiness, and negativity of mind state. No more. You are at peace. Then you have the clarity of mind. You are aware. Then you inquire what actually happened. Then you need to write down. You write down. Then you do what you have to do. Then you inquire. How can I resolve all this amicably? Amicably means without cheating people, without hurting people, without deceiving people. So that it is like a good win-win situation so that nobody get hurt. And how can you do that? Follow Noble Eightfold Path. Well, Noble Eightfold Path is without negativity. Everything is about right view, right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. The four right effort. And mindfulness and samadhi leading to wisdom. No negativity. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And it's basically sila, samadhi, and panya. Sila means morality, to avoid all evil. Then you develop the wholesomeness, the right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. And this is the good. Cultivation of wholesomeness, virtue. Then purify your mind is mindfulness. To awaken, to clear the mind, to root the mind of all delusion, wrong view, straighten your view, to awaken. That's why he keep on developing the understanding to straighten his view. Then he free, like Po Cheng. Those who are on the path, they will know, they will cultivate it correctly. So all this understanding can free you. So I will read on just now that paragraph again, then you will understand. Sometimes the mental hindrance can still come back to disturb you. So do not react and stir your mind via delusion. Means don't go to the thought. Just let things be and let it settle back to its natural state or original state of stillness and inner peace. Then you will always be happy and peaceful. That's why silence your mind, maintain awareness, like you meditate, finish. Then have the wisdom to see things as they are. This is the one that you have to reflect, contemplate until very stable, until it become a part of you, and understand all this clearly. Then one day you will come to understand that as long as your true mind within does not stir, means do not create doubt. Do not create all this wrong thought through your mundane mind. So the lack of peace, the agitation, when they arrive means you are not peaceful, you are not happy. It means what? The wrong thought is already there. So all these are wrong thoughts. That's why you must have the wisdom to see things as they are and understand all this clearly. Then one day, you will come to understand that as long as your true mind does not stir, means what? You can accept the reality of the moment and be at peace. We are the way the world is suchness. The world is the world. People are just the way they are, conditioned like that, things we learn. So this understanding, you must reflect, contemplate until very, very clear. Then the other way, or the other very important pointer to help you is like what my teacher Ajayantra used to tell me, only mighty nature ruling by no reality. Everything is just nature. Come and go, following nature's law. No reality. He no you, he no me. So only mighty nature ruling by, the form and mind is the form and mind. So with this understanding, you can silently observe and understand, then you will not stir your mind anymore. Then you realize the true mind is stillness, tranquility, aware. As long as you do not stir it, the mundane mind cannot come out. So when the mundane mind cannot come out and create thought, you have no more problem. So this is the path that you have to develop the understanding. So I read again. Then one day you will come to understand that as long as your true mind within does not stir and create the thought, which is the wrong thought, we are your own self-delusion to react, to think or react, then your mind will always be peaceful. That's how you free. The one thing to react or to be calm and peaceful via the thought is a delusion or a wrong thought. So always remember that. The inquiry, if it's not based on wisdom, the Dhamma way, is all wrong thought. Like that day we went through, why my mind still not peaceful? Why my boss still blame me? Because these are your views and your opinion. The mundane mind will create, and every living being has their own views and opinion. So thought cannot give rise to solution. Thought, if without wisdom, can only lead to more and more misunderstanding, conflict, argument. That's how problem arises. That's how suffering comes to be. So sometimes war also arise because of wrong thought. The egoic mind that conditioned the wrong thought. And out of anger, out of hatred, out of greed, selfishness, they act because they are in the position of power and authority. That's how they declare war. They start by sanctioning, then they start by having all this harsh word, creating trade war, everything. Then later on, when there is condition, they will attack. So it's like big boy bully small boy. So I think we can see all this happening in the world if we are mindful away. Okay, we move on. The one thing will create the stirring of the mind, because the mind via the thought will try to control and suppress its negative emotion or lack of peace, thinking that it is bad. We are not understanding that the controller is the controller. This part is also very beautiful. When the mind is in sati, there is no thought, there is thought ceases. So just relax and maintain awareness and silence the mind. To be with the moment in silent inner awareness. And do not try to do anything. We are the doing is always by the thought. That will cause the stirring of the mind again. So the thought, which is the controller, tries to control thought. Thus explaining why Jai Krishnamurti said the controller is the control. So this one, hopefully you all can understand. I will explain deeper. I will give you one example. Then you will know. You see, especially if you have been cultivating for quite a while, then like a lot of those thought-based cultivator, they will believe that they already achieve or realize certain stage of enlightenment, then what happens is the thought will tell them, hey, you already transformed. So now you have to really maintain your cultivation. Then later on, maybe you can teach, you can share. Then one day, without his, I should say, without his expectation, suddenly he realized something can still trigger him off and make him angry, you know. Then he realized he still have anger, you know. That is when things go wrong and become very, very wrong. And the thought will tell you, hey, you're not supposed to get angry, you know. You are supposed to be enlightened, you know. Maybe second stage of sainthood or what, Sakadagami. Because at least sensual desire, you feel attenuated. So he will try to suppress his anger, you know. So every time he want to get angry, he will suppress it, you know. He don't want to get angry. So what is he doing? He using the thought to suppress the emotion, which is another thought. Understand? So who is the controller? The thought is the controller. The thought wants to control the emotion. He doesn't want to get angry. So he suppressed. Suppress means what? Yan, don't want to get angry. But how long can you suppress? Well, you will bottle out and you will erupt one day. Cannot, because you are lying to yourself, you are deceiving. So when you don't understand that the controller is the control, you will become miserable. Well, when you suppress, you are very unhappy, you are very unnatural. People can know you are suppressing your emotion, you are not happy. So no amount of suppression or control can help you. So you must always understand the free mind with wisdom, free and liberate. The free mind with wisdom, no need to control, understand? The wisdom understand that anger was never him. Anger is dependent originating, condition arising through wrong view, through wrong thought. Otherwise it will not be there. That's why only wisdom free. So through that wisdom, it is a free mind. No need to do anything. It just accept the reality of the moment. Thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things be like that. The world is the world. Then they are always at peace. They don't have to suppress. They don't have to control. Then they don't have to act out of it. They don't have to suppress anything. That is what wisdom is all about. That's what Dhamma is all about. So the wisdom born of Dhamma understanding is completely different from knowledge. Knowledge can never free you. Knowledge is from the logical mind, mundane mind, thinking mind that has a lot of views, opinion, and idea. The word is idea. He gives you a lot of idea. Hey, you act like that lah. You do like that lah. Otherwise, you get into trouble. So they think by thinking, he can free their mind. Cannot. Thinking can help you solve worldly problem, mundane problem. Yes, I do not doubt that. But most of the time, that solution is not not a permanent solution, not a permanent fix. It's a temporary fix. And most of them who use thought to solve problem one, sometimes get themselves entangled because they use the wrong thought. And most of the time before you are enlightened, you always use the wrong thought. Because your thoughts are full of egoic selfishness. You have a lot of self intent within for you or not for you, beneficial to you or your company or whatever. That's why all this is the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So when you use thought without the wisdom and the awakening, thought is most of the time with the egoic mind, the three evil roots. That's why solution born of the thought process is not a permanent solution, it's not a permanent fix. is most of the time temporary fix. And most of this temporary fix got its repercussion unless you have the Dhamma. You have to resolve things amicably. And then you stand a good chance of not having repercussion. Amicable solution is fair to both sides. That's why you don't try to cheat, deceive, or take advantage. That is the egoic mind's activity. Okay? So hopefully with this, you can understand. Then I move on. When one understands that the natural state of mind before the stirring is stillness without thought, then meditation becomes very simple. True or not? Huh? Just like the case of swimming. If we understand that the natural state of our body is already buoyancy because it's lighter than water, then why do you need to learn how to float? Just let go and don't do anything and trust that your natural state of your body is buoyancy. Then your body will just float. We are not doing anything. That's why initially you just allow your body to sink down. Then when the up thrust come, it will push your body up. Yeah? Your body is lighter than water. So the up thrust is the weight of the body's replacement of the water. Where you are lighter than water, so the up thrust will be higher than your content of the water display. So because of that, it will move you up slowly. Then you will reach the surface, maybe 90% submerged, but a few percent above water. Yeah. So that's how you develop the understanding. And read on. Eh? But instead, most people struggle in the pool or water, trying to keep afloat, and in the process sink and drink water because of their fear and lack of understanding or delusion. So similarly in meditation, if we understand that the natural state of mind is already the meditative state of silent inner awareness without thought, then we just let things be and don't do anything. That's the reason why I say relax, maintain awareness, don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Understand? So when you do that, you will realize your natural state. That's why relax, silent, aware, and you will realize your natural state, which is the silent mind, the true mind, your awareness nature within. So this part is the most beautiful. Okay. And don't do anything and the mind will settle down to its natural state of peace, tranquility, and stillness on its own, just like the swimming analogy. So when you know that you can float naturally without having to worry or struggle, then to swim is very simple. You just move your hand in it. So meditation is the same. When you know that you relax and maintain awareness, then you will realize your natural state of mind, which is the meditative state. Then use it to meditate. True or not? Is there any problem? But when you realize your true mind, that is your meditative mind, that is awareness. So use that to silently observe, aware, and develop the understanding. That's why don't try to know, don't do anything, just silent, aware, maintain awareness. Then the understanding will come without thought, without the mundane mind interfering or doing anything. So just the awareness nature, stabilize it. Develop the clear understanding of what that nature is, then stay with the awareness nature, aware from within. From there, your meditation will progress. You will understand many things. You can see a lot of things very clearly. Once you realize that you can float without doing anything or holding on to any float, then swimming becomes very simple and easy, where you just move to swim without having to worry about learning how to float again or anymore. The float is just like the object of meditation, which is just a skillful means to help you to train your mind to be heedful, or in the case of a float, to assist you to float. So now you start to see and understand that as long as you are dependent on the float to swim, then you will never understand what the real swimming is without the flow. So in a similar way, as long as you are still holding on to the object of meditation or a mantra or noting something, then you will not understand what the actual meditative mind is. So now you understand why finally one still need to drop the use of any object of meditation or skillful means used to train the mind. So just like swimming, why must you learn how to float when your natural state of your body is already buoyancy, which is a fact, which you can't understand initially due to your delusion? So understanding that your natural state of mind is already the meditative state, which is without thought, in perfect awareness, pure awareness and stillness, then meditation becomes very simple and very straightforward. And you will know how to meditate without delusion anymore. That's why I say relax, aware. Then you will realize your true mind, your silent mind. It's basically so simple. To me, after several years of serious meditative investigation, I have come to realize one very important truth or understanding with regards to meditation. That is, we need to understand what meditation is instead of clinging on to techniques and methods and teachers, because the technique, methods and teacher, which are a series of instruction to do certain things, never defines the meditation. Maybe it can act as a skillful means, initial aid, like a float to assist you initially to learn how to swim and float. But to really know how to swim, you must let go of the float and believe that the body can float and reach a natural state of balance or buoyancy. If you don't try to do anything, that is, let go completely and you will float, then swimming becomes very natural and easy. Our mind is more or less the same, that is, its natural state is already the meditative state in stillness. So just stay silent mentally and don't do anything. Don't even try to use the mind, which is the thought, to meditate, to disrupt the natural state. Because the thinking mind, which is egoic and thought-based, cannot meditate. To realize the Dhamma or truth, which is akaliko, timeless and beyond thought, beyond mind, because of ignorance, not knowing what truth is, the thinking mind is conditioned via its own wrong view and habitual tendency to constantly arise the mental activity or heedless thinking, sankhara, leading to the arising of the respective mental consciousness, vijnanam, that support the arising of the five mental aggregates of form and mind, namarupa, hence triggering of the whole chain of dependent origination, leading to dukkha, finally. So that is the dwelling. When you understand what meditation is, then you will naturally know how to meditate at any place, any time, under any circumstances. And you will not be constrained or deluded by your attachment to method, technique, and teacher. Basing on the analogy of the handful of leaf by the Buddha, it is pretty obvious that Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation, where according to the Buddha, there is this fourth noble truth that states clearly that the path leading to the cessation of dukkha or realization of nibbana is the Noble Eightfold Path. So just silence your mind and be heedful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. We are the seven stages of purification and the three turnings of the Four Noble Truth as taught by the Buddha. Hope the above explanation will clear all your doubt and enable you to meditate correctly with the right understanding. So the above, I think, is very clear. So do read through it, contemplate, reflect until very clear and very stable in your understanding. Then you will know how to meditate. Then 3.2, question 2. Brother, you are the only teacher who asks us to silence our mind and stay at the heart area. But why no monk or text ever advise us to focus on the heart area? This is the problem. That's why they doubt, because nobody taught like that. Book also never write, monk also never advise. Then I reply, I say, don't worry about what other people say. Just investigate and find out for yourself. Do not quote me saying anything because you may not understand what I mean. Then you may get me and yourself into trouble unnecessarily. If you are not careful, then you may end up arguing with others over methods and technique again. Just say, Brother Teo only share his Dhamma understanding with us, so no right and no wrong. And we, as Dhamma friends, Kayamita, just make use of whatever that is useful and conducive for our own cultivation. It is just a sincere way of sharing the Dhamma. And as Dhamma friends, we walk the path of Dhamma. We are here to sincerely support, motivate, counsel, and help each other to progress along the path of Dhamma without resorting to any inappropriate negativity of action, speech, and thought. So never argue with people. Never get yourself entangled with unnecessary mundane interaction or discussion. You have to be very tactful. Tactful in the sense that avoid argument, avoid misunderstanding, avoid unnecessary conflict. So better to tell them, if you want to know more, I think it's better for you to attend the class or come and maybe ask the question yourself. You can, if you want to, join us, yeah, and meet up with Brother Teo. Then you can ask whatever you want. When he or she come and see me, you don't worry. That one, they can ask whatever they want. Then I can handle. But if you are not ready, you don't have the understanding, try to avoid. Otherwise, not easy. Oh, I have to move faster, huh? Okay. I only advise those who have developed the ability to silence their mind and rest their awareness at the heart area to feel the gateway to their nature if they have penetrated the direct seeing and stabilized their daily mindfulness. So always remember, this one you only do when you have the ability to silence your mind. Means your daily mindfulness already very stable. Then rest their awareness at the heart area to feel the gateway to their nature if they have penetrated the direct seeing and stabilized their daily mindfulness. So if you have not done that, no hurry, no need to go to the heart so fast. But if you have the ability from your past, then you can give it a try. This meditation is only done by those who have developed the silent mind in pure awareness or sati without thought after they have stabilized the daily mindfulness or anapanasati, and also for those who have trained their mind until the mindfulness is so subtle and fine that they can hardly feel anything. When you reach that stage, when there is everything become very subtle, like your breathing, your rising, falling, or whatever. This is the state where a lot of meditators got trapped and stagnate because they don't understand what is happening. Some master and teacher will ask them to do sitting and touching, etc. But if they understand what is happening, then they should stop doing all those things. Just like what I had explained under question one above. The reason being, the meditator has reached a stage where their bodily formation has become so much finer and subtler. Hence, they need to develop the more refined sati or mindfulness to stabilize their mind, so that their mind is able to stay still and silent on its own, without thought, without the need for any dwelling or object of meditation. That is, mind in sati, without any anger. Means it's a free mind. To realize this state, they must silence everything and stay at the heart area to detect the gateway to connect to their nature within, so that their sati can become more refined and stable. Then when they have stabilized their sati this way, they will suddenly realize that they are now able to be mindful or even the very subtle breathing or fine vibration within their heart area and every movement of mind within the kaya via their awareness or sati is like greatly magnified and in slow motion, but with a lot of clarity within. All of the movements are like broken down into a lot of very fine movement in between. When this stage of cultivation is reached, the mind is very mindful, ever mindful most of the time, in and out of meditation, even in their daily life. Their daily mindfulness will be very different, very clear and stable, with little or no thought most of the time, and they are constantly aware. A mind in sati is always aware of sense experience, every hearing, seeing, thinking, etc., with a lot of clarity, and everything is like a flow. That is the mind and the phenomenon coming together and move as one in perfect harmony and synchrony. The meditation using trust is needed at this stage, where one is able to detect the gateway to their nature within. And this is usually cultivated only by those who go the Bodhisattva way leading to Buddhahood. For more detail, please listen to the recorded talk. So this part you have to understand. You have to silence your mind and let the free mind settle down until it becomes very quiet, until mind enters sati. Mind enters sati means the mind is in sati without any dwelling. On its own is silent, still, without any thinking, without any dwelling. It's just silent away. It does not move. That is when you continue to relax, silent, and just aware, until the awareness becomes very, very stable, then that free mind enters the sati. So when the free mind enters the sati, it becomes very sensitive. Whatever object of meditation or wherever you locate your mind, you can detect the vibration, everything there. So even in your daily mindfulness, all of your action and movement, you are able to be with the specific phenomenal awareness, aware, aware, aware. You realize that your awareness and your movement activity is one, that everything you see is in sati, specific phenomenal awareness. The moving car, the plant, the whatever, all of your vision. Then hearing also in sati, smell, taste, tactile, all in sati. Then your activity of mind, Like slow down, everything you can see very clearly. The moment of contact, the moment of feeling, the moment of activity, sankara. You can see the movement. It's like slow down for you to see. But actually nothing slow down. Everything is at the same pace. But because now you don't think, your mind is in sati, you can be with it. That's the reason why the real sati, the real mindfulness is very different. Okay, I think we end.